It's up here if it's yours. We also are planning. The building committee has asked me to announce that Saturday we will have a work day at 9 o'clock. So we need the more the merrier, and the quicker we can get everything done. So it would be greatly appreciated if you could make some effort to be there. Don't you love your kids? Before I left, I was shaking like a leaf. And I don't know what it is. The Lord's always given me with my kids to pull out a great big hammer and slap me in the head with it and say, "Dad, it's going to be all right." But I said, "Joseph, I'm a little nervous." I said, "I'm a little worried about getting in front of all them people and sharing God's word." And Joseph looked at me and said, "You know, Dad, you shouldn't be worried." I said, "Why?" He said, "'Cause you're sharing God's word." And I'm like, "Okay." And, you know, and it just sort of speaks to my heart. But tonight I'm going to, I guess before I speak, I need to pray. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this night and thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And Father, simple thoughts from a simple person, Father, I just pray that you would make them interesting to the Holy Spirit and my brothers and sisters, and that it would help edify them and build them up, Father, and in whatever situation they're dealing with, Father. I just thank you for your son. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we went up the mountaintop, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to go to the mountaintop. I mean, you know, everybody's got to have the mountaintop experience. So that's what the men did this past week. And the subject come up of fellowshipping and talking about fellowshipping with each other. And I'd been having a struggle still. And y'all gonna go, "Johnny, you're beating a dead horse. Get on, get your tail down the road, and stop. Okay, just stop." But I don't know. Y'all might be cool with that, but I'm not cool with that because some things they just get under my skin and I just won't shake them. Okay, and so I told the elders the other night, Dave, I said I might share a little bit more about my battle that I'm going on with. And he said, "Well, I don't think anything'd be wrong with that." I said, "Okay, well then I'll do that." But y'all know, many months ago now, I had applied for a job, and I got turned down, to make a long story short. And so, you know, and I come up here and spoke a message to y'all. I've had a lot of people compliment me, tell me I did a good job with that message. And unfortunately, I should have been having a mirror right here and preaching to myself too, because I was studying the message and I gave out the message, but for some reason it went through real quick. Well, anyway, I'm still struggling with this disappointment. I'm being rejected. And I'm sitting here going, what's going on? And it was 2 weeks ago. I came home and out of the blue, I just like, you know, and Dog's like trying to talk to me, you know, and she's like, you know, "It's okay, you know, and she encouraged me. She gave me some words. I mean, the word. And, you know, sometimes the women folk have to give the men folk a little jolt sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes we think we got it under control, and then the women have to remind us, "No, you don't. God's got it under control." But anyway, then I also talked to another brother, and we were sharing, and I kept thinking, after I talked to the brother, I said, "I need to read." So I started reading. I got to read my Bible. So I started reading. I said, "I need to start praying. I need to pray some more." So I started praying more. And so I started going, well, God, what are you trying to show me with all this? You know? I mean, strong brothers, you know, you don't deal with this. This is supposed to be gone. You know, we're men. You know, after 4 months, I shouldn't be dealing with this no more. I should be free as a bird. Well, God come and he kept bringing this verse to me. Okay? And I was like, what do you mean by that verse? I don't want that verse. I want another verse. Give me something that's what I want to hear. No, this is what I want you to hear, Johnny. Not literally, but through thoughts. Okay? And I don't know. There might be some times where God still speaks in voice. I don't know. But a lot of times when I hear talk to different people, they say, God just brought this thought to my mind. And it wouldn't go away. It just kept going. And then more I tried to forget about it, he still slammed it to my head. So, but anyway, the verse is in Luke 17:12. And everybody's familiar with it. And I think it was mentioned a little bit up on the mountain. I can't remember who spoke about it. It says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. So I'm sitting there thinking about that verse, and I'm thinking about what are you trying to show me about this verse? And the more I was thinking about it and praying about it, he wanted me to be thankful. And I'm like, thankful for what? Okay, and y'all can be sort of, something's wrong with Johnny, but that's what I'm thinking. This is real, okay? God wants you to keep it real, okay? He ain't no imaginary person. He ain't Santa Claus. He ain't Easter Bunny. He's real. And believe it or not, he knows your heart better than you do. So when you're feeling the evil things in your heart, he knows it. So you might as well be straight up with him. True? Okay. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I ain't never seen my kids go up to me, you know, come up. And Joseph goes, Dad, can I go shoot basketball? I say, no. Well, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad, for not letting me shoot basketball. How many parents have, you know, hey, Dad, I want to go out with this person tonight. Is that okay? I don't think it'd be the good thing. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. I know that you're looking out for my best interest. Who's saying that? And the young people are going, yeah, right. You'll never hear me say that. So, but it's true, you know. And the majority of the time when you're telling your children that, it's because you know it. You know what's going to happen. You know, don't eat this or don't do that. And they're like, them people, they don't know nothing. They're a bunch of old fogies. Well, they know how it's going to, what the deal is. And they know warning signs. They can see who you hanging out with. Man, that guy, he ain't the best person to hang out with. And you should say, thank you. You should think about it. Think about it. Thank you. Okay? They know, believe it or not. And God knows. Because so we're a bunch of grown up kids. Okay? And God's our Father. And God's like, well, Johnny, I want you to be thankful. I said, thankful for what? You withheld something from me that I wanted. I wanted that job. Just like a kid would go, I want that Nintendo whatever majig. And you withheld it from me. No, I'm not going to be thankful. What? I can't be thankful. So God's working on my heart, okay? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be stubborn like a mule and not be thankful, okay? He's wanting to break me, okay? And you've heard of people that have been broken, you know? And you hear about the how it just sort of just made them more, they had more confidence in God. So they were looking at themselves and they were saying, you know, I should have had that job. I should have done something to get that job. And then I didn't get that job and I should have done something. So I could be mean to somebody and I should have done this, that, and the other. And I'm, and that's the key word, I'm me. I'm trusting in myself. Okay? I'm trusting myself to take care of these feelings, these emotions, and not wanting to listen to what God has to say. Okay? So we need to be thankful. We don't need to be like the 10 lepers. Wow, they just took off and left. I mean, God did something great for them. You know, but from my eyes, my point of view, I'm like, well, God, what you did for me, what? I don't see the good in it. But I think you wanted me to be thankful. I think that's why he kept slamming this verse, be thankful. Okay, and then we went on in Philippians 4:5. And it says what the scriptures say about being thankful. And the Lord, when that guy came back and he thanked him, arise and go thy way, thy faithful faith has made thee whole. I mean, he just healed me of leprosy. And to hear him say that, me say, thank you. And then he said, your faith has made you whole. He wanted to be whole. Those other guys that took off and left, I don't know what part of life they were going to or what struggle or what good thing or whatever. They weren't whole. They weren't whole because they didn't thank the Lord. They weren't being thankful for the one that gave that blessing. Now in Philippians 4 it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where was my thanksgiving at? Where was, you know, it says in everything. So that means, I don't know, when you get the promotion at work, be thankful. When you don't get the promotion at work, be thankful. When you get the new Lamborghini Diablo that you wanted, be thankful. And when you're driving the Volkswagen Bug, no offense to any bugs out there. Bugs are good cars. Let's say a used, like, 20-year-old that hasn't been remade, it's got a bunch of rust on it. Okay, there you go. Be thankful for it. Okay? In everything, in every trial, in every good thing, when your kids graduate from school, be thankful for it. When your kids are going through a struggle, be thankful for it. And I'm like, be thankful for the struggle? What do you mean, be thankful for the struggle? How about just not giving me a struggle? Wouldn't that be better? And then I could just go on and be fine. But see, the problem is when you go on without any struggles, you don't get stronger. You know? And that's one thing, one of my brothers was sharing with me the other night that he was telling me when he struggled with things, he would say, you know, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm looking at all the things that God has provided me. You know, whatever you're dealing with, and it's a little pipsqueak thing that you're dealing with. It's something small compared to all the blessings that we have. And most of all, the blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved. I mean, somebody said, there was a sign over here at this church. I don't know if anybody saw it. I ain't never seen anybody regret being saved. You know, nobody's ever regretted being saved. We should be thankful for that. That's the peak of the mountain. And then I'm looking at this little piddly thing. I'm like, you know, what about this? You know, I need to remember the big things, the little things that God allowed and that I saw the blessing come from. Those are the things that I need to see. So one part of the thing I'm thinking about is, what do I need to be thankful for? Let's see. You know, I got this inner conflict going on, and God's telling me to be thankful. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? What are you trying to speak to me? In Romans 5:1. And I believe one of our brothers spoke this probably 3 or 4 months ago, but that's okay because y'all need to hear it again. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It gets better, brother. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. We glory in tribulation. What do you mean, glory in tribulation? What's so great about going through tribulation? And you read on, it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay. So you're trying to tell me something about the tribulations. That it's good to have tribulations. It's good to have problems. Okay. First of all, he wants us to face tribulation. He wants us to have that trial. Because that's the beginning of everything that's going to make us a better person. What's going to make us more like Christ. Okay? Because, you know, Christ went through tribulation. Okay? So if we just go through life without any trials or anything, you know, we're not going to share in the sufferings of Christ. And this was mentioned at the mountain. I think a little tidbit's here. I took a little bit. I hope Mark don't mind. But, you know, when we were at the mountain, it really blessed me to be there. And I think it really communicated to me what God wanted me to share. But I was thinking about my kids. Now, you remember the first time your kids wanted to tie their shoes? And they get over there and you show them how to tie them. And so they go, okay, I can do that. And so they go over there, you know, it's like the next day or so, and they're like, I can do it. I can tie my shoes. And so they grab the shoes and they put them on and they lace them, tie them up real quick. I can't tie them. Wait a minute, this ain't how mom and dad did it the other day. Wait a minute. And then they start crying. Okay? And you say, well, bring it here and I'll help you. And they're like, no, I want to do it myself. You know, and you're trying to explain to them, look, come to me and I will help you. You're having a trial. You're having difficulties tying your shoe. Come to me and I'll help you. And then you said, no, I can do it myself. Alright, well, by the time that you've done told them, you know, look, I can't do that. Wait a minute, I didn't say that right. By the time you've told them that you'll help them, and they said no, they want to do it themselves, you started doing another project. You're getting dressed, you're doing the other kids, or you're doing this, that, and the other. So they're whining. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I'm like, yeah, what? Who are my shoes? I'm like, wait. Wait, and I'll be there when I'm ready. I'm like, so I'm over here doing whatever. No, I want you to come now! Now! I want you to fix my shoes now! No, wait, I'm still doing this. Okay? Are y'all getting this a little bit? Okay. Alright. Well, then finally I sit down with them and start tying their shoes. And I go, see? And they're like smiling, Rick. And it's stronger. Because they saw you tie it, and they know how to tie it a little bit more. And over a period of time, they'll learn to tie it. But then they also know that they have confidence that they don't have to go to church with their shoes untied. Because if they can't do it, Daddy can. Or Mama can. Excuse me, Mom. Left y'all out. Daddy can. Mom can. There's a hope. There's a hope for the future. You can say, hey, I don't have to worry about going to church with my shoes untied. Because I can either do it myself. Now that my dad has made me stronger because I know how to do it. Or I know that if I can't do it, I can get my father. And he can help me out. Okay? And that's my problem. That's my problem that I'm dealing with. I know that was a little, you know, small illustration, but that's the problem I'm dealing with. I want my shoes tied, and I want them now. I want this job, and I want it now. And well, not really the job. I've got past the job. Forget it. The feelings that I'm struggling with, okay? You know, I went to work today. Everything went fine. I did all my job and took care of all my people, all this stuff. But 2 weeks ago, I went home and I felt like somebody stabbed me with a knife. Because I go to work and every day I'm faced with that in front of me and it's just a reminder. And so I called my brother up. Okay? But I'm like, brother, wait a minute. This is supposed to be gone. This is supposed to be through. I can do this. I can get rid of these feelings myself. I can tie my shoelaces myself. I can get rid of these feelings. No, I can't. Okay. The Lord wants me to wait on Him. He wants me to say, Lord, I don't know what You're doing with this. I don't know me to have these feelings, but I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to see what You got planned for me. I'm going to put my faith and trust in You that You're going to... Now. I want to tie my shoes now. I want it now. I want the feelings to be gone. I'm supposed to be a man and I'm not supposed to have these feelings no more. I'm supposed to be gone. Now. I have to wait on the Lord. It's hot in here. It says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He's going to strengthen my heart. Wait on Him. I'll be stronger than I would be if I waited on, you know, tried to do it myself. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Just chill, Johnny. Just chill. With your feelings and your emotions and everything that's built up in you. Just chill. Just sit still and know that I'm God. That I'm in control of this situation. Oh, I missed one. And this was an important one. When we were on the mountain, and this one probably spoke the most from what Mark shared. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That wasn't the verse that Mark gave. It's another verse that's coming in a minute. He's going to bring the temptation to your life. He's not going to push you over the edge, guys. He's going to push you right there so you'll go, God, I need your help. He's going to put you right there. Right there. Who likes to wait? Does anybody like to wait here? Anybody ever gotten said, can you put me in the line where you wait? Put me in the line where you can wait. You know, at Disney World, they had this new thing. Y'all may have heard about it. It's called Fast Track or something. And you get to go to the front of the line. Okay? You don't see no slow track. Ain't nobody gonna pay extra money to wait longer. Okay? Alright? So we need to wait on the Lord. And in His time, we'll be stronger for it. Okay. Now, the next thing we gotta do is we got to experience His hand in our suffering. Okay? We got to experience what's going on. We got to experience the pain. Okay? You have experience, you have a tribulation, wait on the Lord, now you got to feel the pain. Okay? You got to have some sort of experience that may cost you something. Okay? Something that's going to struggle with. Okay? My struggle was that I didn't get what I wanted. And I was angry. And I got to get past this pain. But it's going to build up until I finally break down and say, Lord, this is you. This is you in control. Okay? It's where I got to find that place where I say, you know, I'm weak, but He is strong. I cannot deal with this pain in my heart. I cannot deal with this feeling that I'm having. He's going to have to help me do it. He's going to have to do most of it. Because I can't do it. I mean, it's been 4 months. And I'm calling right on the phone. I just got not literally stabbed with a knife, but figuratively. I'm feeling like dirt inside. I feel like stabbing somebody in the eye. Please forgive me for that. And it's all a matter of how you deal with it. Now, if you go sock somebody in the eye, you done wrong. Okay? Now, if you come to your brother and say, look, you know, I'm thinking about socking somebody in the eye. And then he says, well, look, brother, that ain't the way to be. So you say, okay. And then he'll encourage you. And then the Lord will lift you up. Okay? And he'll say, you know, he'll bring you back to your senses. He'll bring you back to your senses and you'll say, you know, Jesus wouldn't sock somebody in the eye. Jesus wouldn't sock somebody in the eye. You shouldn't sock somebody in the eye. You know, he said, you know, turn the cheek. Oh, how hard it is to turn the cheek. when somebody up and gets up in your face or something, or they do something to you that ain't right, and you're just like, you know, back away. It's hard to do that. You know, because the flesh is there and it's saying, hey, you want to talk them in the heart. But the Spirit's telling you, no, that is not the way to deal with things. That's not the way for your anger to be displayed. But anyway, He wants us to suffer. It says here in 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. I'm going to tell you, when we went to the mountain, I shared what was going on in my life. And I probably had more than a half a dozen brothers come up. Johnny, I had that same thing happen to me. And you know what? God brought me through it. Yeah, I dealt with that same problem, Johnny. Brothers I didn't even know were coming up to me. Man, I heard what you shared. The same thing happened to me. And God brought me through it. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to each other to hear one of my brothers had that trial. Now, let's see. I could go around the room and ask everybody their individual trials that they've had during the entire portion of their life. Okay? But I bet we could cover a lot of ground in this, just in this room. Okay? Of rejection, of losses, of hip replacements, of back. Heart troubles or whatever it might be. And brothers come up. Man, I had that hip replacement done. You can do it. Now, you might have trouble with this. You might have a little through it. And you'll be doing all right. He can do it. He can make it happen. You know, And sometimes, you know, I've had the opportunity to share what God's done in my life. Okay? But I don't see it like that. Okay? I'm not seeing the spiritual trying to take Johnny Yao and build him up into the man that God wants him to be. All I see is Johnny Yao's selfish side, which that's another thing I mentioned when we were talking up in the mountain, is, you know, the majority of domestic violence cases because selfishness. Okay? Selfishness. And that's what a lot of this is. I'm being selfish and I don't want to do anything with God. I don't want God to have a part of my life. I don't want Him to work. I'm not letting Him. I'm being selfish. I'm saying, this is my space, God. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. That's what we do sometimes. You know? It's like, no, I'm perfect Christian. Everything, you know. No. If you're honest with yourself, you have some struggles. And God knows about it. Okay? And this is one of Joseph's favorite songs. I'm being sarcastic when I say this. And I know you heard it on the radio. And this is a Christian contemporary song for any older traditional people. This will show you that sometimes these younger contemporary songs can actually have some spiritual significance. I love listening to this song. Joseph gets sick of hearing it. Matthew West, Strong Enough. Okay? I shared it one day at worship service, but I mean, it reminds me that I'm not strong enough. It says, you must think I'm strong to give me what I'm going, to give me what I'm going through. Well, forgive me if I'm wrong, but this looks like more than I can do on my own. Well, maybe that's the point, to reach the point of giving up, because when I'm finally at rock bottom, well, that's when I start looking up and reaching out. I know I'm not strong enough to be everything that I'm supposed to be. I give up. I'm not strong enough. Hands of mercy, won't you cover me? Lord, right now, I'm asking you to be strong enough. That's what I need to be doing right then. When I'm experiencing the struggle, I need to be asking the Lord to be strong enough to take this pain out of my heart. And of course, being the person that I am, sometimes I don't do that. When I was thinking about being strong, because the song says God needs to be strong enough, but you know, when we face the trial, we get stronger, okay? So it might be a struggle now for me to deal with this pain that I'm feeling. But as God works through my heart, when that obstacle comes again, I'll be stronger because of what He did. And I can go, hey, I can stand. I can stand through, you know, because God brought me through and He showed me how. He showed me where I needed to go. He showed me the way. And I was thinking about when you have trials in your life, I'm thinking, you gotta have trials in your life. If you don't have trials in your life, I'm sorry, you're probably going to be a little on the wimpy side. Okay? You haven't faced anything. You haven't faced anything. So unfortunately for those that are a little on the wimpy side, they're going to have to do the same thing with God. They're going to have to say, hey, I'm going to give it up to God. Because when you first walk in there, you're going to be like, full force, mighty man of valor. Well, you know, I'm going to take this obstacle. And then you end up getting there and you hit a brick wall and you fall down on the ground. Okay? Because you were trusting in yourself instead of God. Okay? Have you ever seen, imagine going to a football game and only seeing one team playing. Okay? Imagine going to Carolina State, and don't brag about State winning the football game, right? Let's just say State just showed up that day. Okay? Carolina State home. Sorry, my Carolina brothers, I set that one up. Would they get any better? Would they get any better facing no one? When you see somebody practice at basketball, you usually play against somebody, even if they're on your same team. You're practicing against them. You're going to face this obstacle head on. You're not going to face it against them. They're not going to be any better. And see, next year Carolina might be better against State because they went against them this year. And of course they lost. But maybe they'll be stronger next year for it. Okay? You ever see a boxer going out there to box and he took a couple of rounds with one of his sparring partners to practice how to dodge, how to do what needs to be done? You don't see anybody in sports. And I'm going to tell you, I like NASCAR, but it would be really boring if it was just one car on the track. And everybody running car ran, you know, nobody wrecking, nobody challenging each other to pass them. And, you know, you got to have that struggle. You got to have something so you can become stronger. Okay? So I think that Becoming stronger gives you that hope that we're talking about. The hope in God. The hope that, you know, whatever the struggle is, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it so much because God's going to be there. God's going to help me through the struggle. That's the hope. And then above all that hope is the other hope of the day that He's either coming back to get us and take us home with Him, or we're going to go over to Jordan and meet Him face to face. Okay? So, you got the little hopes, and then there's a big hope. Okay? That's the big hope. The day that we'll see Him face to face. You know, and at that time, we won't be these raggedy looking bodies with these raggedy feelings inside and these terrible days that these trials that we're going through. We'll be through all of that. And we'll be like Him. I praise the Lord for that. I was going to ask if we could see number 430. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings.